Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, was giving us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast, and once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give it to you. Glory be to God. So, amen, and wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another day that you'll bless us to assemble together. And we ask that your presence of your spirit will be with us. As so you have said in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. This day, Lord, we are in need of a movement by your spirit. We are in need you to bless us this day. We are in need of revelation, understanding. We are in need of you above all. So, Lord, as we go forth this day, and some of together, we want to thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And I plead the blood of Jesus against every works of Satan or against this broadcast, infecting the airwaves. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life and the life of my family and everyone that is listening today. In Jesus' name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Tonight we are on a new section of the series. We still dealing with spiritualists. But tonight's title is Spiritualists, Their Teaching and Belief About Jesus. And people, you know, when I talk about these different religions, first and most important thing is that what do they say about Jesus, okay? That's going to be the first and foremost and most important thing, okay? And it's critically important because, as I've said before, some of us as Christians have gotten the love thing mixed up, that when God said loves all men. Now, he didn't say hate. He didn't say for you go out there and, you know, harass them or call some vulgar names and all that. That ain't what God said. But God said to love all men, but he never told you to love the doctrines. He never told you to love the sin. He never told you to love the abomination. Could you imagine when God said love all men, could you imagine if God, when he said that, including abomination, sin, iniquity, whatever they do, whatever they teach, do you know that God would be unjust to get on you about sinning? Have you thought about it? For those of you who think that loving all men means to tolerate the sin or to tolerate the abomination or to make peace with these teachings and things that they have against Jesus Christ because you call that an act of love or an act of peace. Once again, if you thought on it, and if that really meant that, then God is unjust for getting on you about sin. Hallelujah. And as a people, and I'm talking about Christian people right now, many of us, we miss that. We miss that, okay? You know, we think that love means to let people take control of your house, do whatever they want to do in the house, or bring drug addicts to your house, smoke drugs in your house, you know, sleep around with people in your house. And we think that when you tell them, say, hey, you know, I'm not going to have that, you got to go. Oh, you're so wrong. Oh, you're so wrong. That ain't love. Where you get that from? Okay. And with these different religions, we are to love all men. Now, yes, we are instructed to do that. But that love does not mean tolerate the sin or accept the doctrines and teachings of men or devils. That is not what the love of God mean by that. Okay? Once again, if it meant that, then that means that all men in their fallen state, they could just go into heaven without any atonement need to be made, any sacrifice of Christ, any of that. You understand what I'm saying? But see, that's not so. And so I just taking this few minutes here before I go more into the lesson. And I'm, this is, like I said, my brother, Brother Lee, when he was on with me, I think that was last week, week before that, he explained to you why I've been doing it on these different religions. It's not to toot our own horn, puff us up in pride, even though some people may think that. They say, oh, okay, what make your so-called, quote, religion better than ours? Well, first of all, Christianity is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. And it's a following. It's following Christ and living a life of Christ. That's what that's about. It's not no religion. It's not no routine that you do, that you just go do something just to say you're doing it. None of that. But anyhow, I wanted to, you know, elaborate on that. And also another reason why I'm doing this, because there are some out there who think that just because many of these religions use the word God, and in some cases Jesus, and then, you know, even quote the word Christian. So like one religion called Christian Science. People see these words like this, just like what I'm doing now on this religion called Spiritism. Well, people see the word spirit in there, and they think, oh, this has got to be God, because it calls Spiritism. Don't let the words fool you. Because, see, you're taking it at face value without even searching what's their overall teaching and belief. Does it line up with the word of God from the Bible? Does it line up with that? No. Many of you is not searching or to see what they teach or believe. So you're taking that face value because they use the word spirit or God, some cases Jesus, okay, and Christian, and you're saying, oh, they're a Christian, they're all with us, and now some of you have gone as far as say, hey, they're our brothers and sisters. Well, no, they ain't, because if they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, then they're not my brother or sister in Christ. Now, tonight, and you can look at this as being called a part one, because I'm going to be dealing with First Witnesses tonight. Once again, it is titled Spiritualist, Their Teaching and Belief About Jesus. And we're going to look at the Redeemer, the Conception, the Atonement, and his divinity. Okay? This is what we're going to be discussing about in this part of the series, about what the spiritualists say about Jesus. And we're going to see, does it agree with the Word of God from the Bible? Okay? That's what we're going to look at. And what I want to do, I want to read a little bit on each one to you about what the spiritualist says, and then we're going to look at witnesses on this. Now, the first thing, Redeemer, okay? Redeemer. And I wanted to read to you what the spiritualist has to say about the Redeemer. And this thing is found in their book called The Spiritualist Manual. I think this was dated 1840. And I want you to hear what they say about concerning the Redeemer. And it says, spiritualism is the broad educator, the great Redeemer, the emancipator, which releases human soul from the bondage of superstition and ignorance, lifts the clouds or error that have so long enshrouded the world, and illuminize the darkness of the world's materially. materiality. So according to the spiritualist manual, spiritualism is the great redeemer. Now, just take a pause for a minute to let that sink in. That's according to the spiritualist and their spiritualist manual. Okay. It says that the spiritualism, this religion of spiritualism is the great redeemer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at one witness tonight on that part here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And let's go to the book of, and I want to see which verse I want to go with here. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. The book of Psalms, chapter 78. The book of Psalms, chapter 78. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to look at verse 33 to verse 35. Verse 35 being the key verse. Verse 33 said, therefore, their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble when he slew them. Then they sought him and they returned and inquired early after God. Okay. And they remembered that God was their rock. God was their rock, the people. They remember God was their rock. And the high God, their redeemer. Okay. Now, we see right here that it doesn't say nothing about spiritism is the great redeemer. The redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. Because notice here it said that in verse 35, and they remember that God was their rock. Well, remember in the New Testament, Jesus, the book of Corinthians, is referred to as the rock. So this is one and the self same person, okay? So the overall true redeemer, the great redeemer of mankind is Jesus. It's not spiritism, okay? You get that? No religion, quote, could redeem man. There had to be someone to do it, and it was Christ, not religion. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Now, the goal of Satan working through these religions is to get every aspect about Jesus wiped out of the individual's life. In other words, he don't want the individual to receive nothing about Jesus, nothing at all. You get that? Hallelujah. And he wants everything about Jesus not accepted by man. And so then he had these spiritualists tell you that spiritism is the great redeemer. Okay. Trying to, you know, which once again, they said that spiritism is the great redeemer, which releases human souls from the bondage of superstition and ignorance. Okay. Jesus redeemed man to loose man from sin and from death and to deliver man from all things that are evil, okay? Spiritism doesn't do that. And once again, a religion cannot redeem you. You know, it's how some people get caught up. They say, you know, that's against my religion and all this stuff. And they think that, quote, their religion is what delivers them. But your religion is not what delivers you. Once again, religion could not redeem man. Jesus Christ, the rock, is the redeemer. Okay? Now, you got to hear this. First, let me throw this out to you, Christian. You got to hear this because you got to be willing to stand at some point or another. See, some of us, we want to be quiet. We don't want to say nothing, keep our mouth closed when it's time to open our mouth and stand. Well, I'm telling you what, you living in the days of testing. You're living in the days of testing, okay? And you think that sitting back quiet protects you. Well, the day finna come, you finna be confronted where you got to make a decision. And you either going to say yay or nay, okay? It's not going to be none of that. You think you're going to dodge everything and hide, and you ain't got to answer this. No, that ain't how it's going to be. You're going to have to make a decision, okay? Yay or nay, concerning that which be of God. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I know that some of you, you know, you saying, hey, you know, God understands and glory be to God. And you know, he understands what I'm going through and not for you. He says something all the time. But there's time where you need to open your mouth and say something. Okay. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at the second thing, thank you, Jesus, that, you know, they talk about concerning Christ, okay? This is a very key thing. Before I go any further, once again, the Redeemer, the great Redeemer, is not spiritualism, okay? The great Redeemer is Christ. Amen. And the spiritualists do not want you to accept it. Moreover, Satan don't want you to accept this. Because if you reject the one that truly redeemed, what you got? Who was able to deliver you from death? Now, you got to accept Christ in order for the power of redemption to become totally active in your life, for you to step into that place of deliverance. But the deliverance was provided for you by Jesus, what he did, okay? And if you reject that, what you got? These religions can't save you. These religions can't deliver you from sickness or disease or bondage or even the devil. They can't do that. So if you reject that, what do you have? You don't have anything. If you reject that, glory to God. Now, I want to read to you what they say about the conception. And one of their members or leaders, whatever you want to call, his name is spelled Haweis. I guess you may pronounce it Hawaius. Hawaius. Now, I want to read to you what they say about the conception of Christ. The word said, the miraculous conception of Christ is merely a fabulous tale. As my brother said, I don't think you heard it. Let me read that to you again. The miraculous conception of Christ. Because, see, they ain't calling it miraculous. They're saying miraculous because they've heard from many that have testified to say, hey, Christ's conception was miraculous. So they said the miraculous conception of Christ is merely a fabulous tale. In other words, say it's a lie. Wow. My God. People, understand this. you got to be bold in your stand, because these people going to be bold in theirs. I mean, ain't no need of you sitting up there quaking in your boots, okay, scared, open your mouth, you know. These people ain't. You look at the world, being in the world, they afraid to tell you what they think. Tell you to your face, I don't think Jesus is nothing. They'll tell you that. But see, we on the other end as Christians, who should be bold in the faith, we the ones quaking in our boots. We just scared. We fumbling at the mouth. We act like we can't get our words right and all of that. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at what the Word of God has to say. Does the Bible agree with them? Was Jesus' miraculous conception, was it a fabulous tale? Was it a lie? Does the Bible support that? Well, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1. Let's take a look at this in Luke chapter 1. Now, look what the Word of God has to say here. I'm going to start at verse 26. Go to verse 32. And it said, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, notice that the angel, he brings the plan of God to Mary. Okay? So for this, Mary had no knowledge in dealing with, in knowing this. And he said, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, remember in verse 26, it said that Gabriel was sent from God. This is the angel, the messenger angel of the Lord named Gabriel. He was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man. Okay. So she was a virgin. And he said that you're going to conceive in your womb. Okay. This is why she's a virgin. She was to conceive in her womb a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Now, the regular way, you know that when a woman is pregnant, it's the joining between her and a man. But when he's telling you a virgin, you're going to conceive a child in your womb without having sexual relations with a man, that is miraculous, okay? That's miraculous. So the Bible does not stand with the spiritualist who says that the conception of Christ was a fabulous tale. The Bible says to the spiritualist, you don't know what you're talking about, okay? That's what the Bible lets you know. You don't know what you're saying. Thank you, Jesus. See, once again, we have to learn to start checking up on stuff, okay? We don't be checking up. Amen. There are things that we take at face value because people are saying it, and we don't check it up. And really, it's be lowering our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and saying stuff that, like they saying, that hey, it's a fabrication. It ain't true. That, you know, is a lie. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You see, people, we got to start searching these things up. You know, we can't just, you know, people, because they use the word God and all that, we, oh, they got to be for the Lord because they say God. Meaning what? Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We thank God for the word of the Lord. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Yes, he is. Okay? Worthy to be praised and glorified. And listen, you know, people, this thing is big time serious. Okay? And I told you that, you know, the time's going to come because some of you already, you know, you came across some things where you could speak up, but you dodged it, or you played the quiet game, or you're sitting there hoping, oh, I hope they go away. I hope they go away. I hope they don't ask me. And then they didn't ask you. All of a sudden, you breathe it. Ah, oh, I'm all right now. Amazing. Okay? Amazing. But the day finna come that there will be no more dodging. Thank you, Jesus. It's not gonna be no more dodging, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I thank the Lord for the word of the Lord, because his word is him. And so the Bible does not support what the spiritualist says about Jesus' conception. It does not support what the spiritualist said that the great Redeemer is spiritism. It doesn't support that. Now, here's the thing I want to say to you. I want to go with the thing that supports me and I can stand on, that can keep me and deliver me and save me. I don't want to stand with something that has no saving power, that can't keep me, and that is a lie itself. So I'd rather be in something or with something that the Bible supports than to be in something or with something that only man or Satan supports. Glory to God. Now, I want to read to you the third thing they have to say, and this is about the atonement of Christ, what Christ did for man and the shedding of his blood to take away sin. We want to read what the spiritualist says about that. Glory to God. And this is from, one of the spiritualists named, it is N-O-C-H-O-L-A-S, Nocholas. And this is what he said, advanced spirits do not teach the atonement of Christ. Nothing of the kind. Okay? Once again, advanced spirits do not teach the atonement of Christ. Nothing of the kind. Another one, named Hall, of the spiritualist, says, your doctrine of the atonement is the very climax of a deranged imagination. Wow. And one that is of the unrighteous and immoral tendency. Do you hear that? Another one, this is titled, A Revelation Passed at the Spiritualistic Convention in Bradford, England, says, we regret and condemn the practice of spiritualists sending their children to be instructed in the teaching of a vicarious atonement or salvation by faith and not of works. Did you hear that? So they reject the atonement of Christ and what he did for man and the shedding of his blood. Okay? They reject that. You get that? They said that teaching that is of a deranged mind. They say you're deranged if you believe that. Then they says advanced spirits do not teach the atonement of Christ. Well, I talked to you in the last series, and those of you that's, you know, maybe you're listening to this for the first time, go back and listen to the last series when we talked about the spiritualists, when they talk about communion of spirits and ministry of angels, and look at the series before that. If you're on this page, it should be a picture of a Bible, probably in the right side section. But click on it, a drop box will come out, and you see episodes, click on it, and it'll show you all our past episodes. And the reason why I brought it up again, too, is because I told you that TISM deals with demonic spirits, okay? So when they say here, advanced spirits do not teach about the atonement of Christ, I imagine so, because those are demon spirits. Why would a demon spirit is not going to teach you about the atonement of Christ? Do you know if a demon spirit attempt to, Satan would rip him to pieces, okay? Amen. Satan would, oh man, all that frustration and anger, Satan would take out on that demon and beat that demon half to death, you know? So now no advanced spirits is going to teach on the atonement. Satan don't want no teaching on the atonement that Christ did, Christ shedding of the blood and what he did, that man may be redeemed and reconciled in the shedding of his blood and becoming sin for us. For what? Not going to want that to be taught. Okay, let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I want to start at verse 26, and I'm going to read to verse 30. John chapter 1, verses 26 to verse 30. Now look what it says. It said, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoelaces I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. That takes away the sin of the world. I'm hoping that you see that. The Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. Well, how did Christ do that? How did he do that? By the sacrifice of himself. Giving himself to be crucified and his blood to be shedded, and then he rose. That's how he was able to do that. Okay? He made the atonement, the amends for mankind. Okay? He did that. See, mankind could not do it for himself. Okay, mankind, because of Adam and what Adam did, mankind was heading to hell. All mankind, because all has sinned, falls short of the glory. All has sinned in their life. And see, what Adam did in falling, he opened up the door for the sin nature to be here on this earth. So all that was born into this earth were born into sin and to the sin nature, okay, and had to be redeemed. And so no man could do it. Now, you may name Moses and David and all that, but, hey, those men had some sin in their life. Those men was not spotless. They weren't faultless. It took something faultless and spotless to be the sacrifice, something pure. And that's where the Lord God come in the flesh, and we beheld him as the only begotten Son, who was pure, faultless, okay? And he could only qualify to be the sacrifice for man, to make an atonement, because there had to be an atonement made, okay? Just like what they did with the bulls and goats, okay? That atonement there was dealing with the covering of man's sin. Okay, the blood of the bulls or goats could not take away man's sin. Notice that John said here, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Even in the Old Testament, when they sacrifice a lamb or a bull or a goat, that blood could only cover. The blood Jesus shed, his own blood, had the power to take away sin. And see, spiritualists tells you to reject this notion. Well, if you have nothing to take away your sin, what you got? You got nothing. And you have to go where the sinners go. But see, once again, the spiritualist wants you to reject this. And they're telling you that anyone that believes this atonement has a deranged mind. You are crazy, okay? You got a deranged mind. That's what they say. You get that? Now, as a Christian, as I told you before, and I say it again, you have a decision to make. You can either say, and see, some of y'all think, oh, this decision, this ain't going to be nothing. Okay. I said to you once before, and I say this again, I believe that every Christian that has been growing in Christ, that have been growing, you know, I wouldn't say this to people that are newborn babes as of yet because they haven't grown. But those who are growing in Christ need to read Christian Martyrs of the World, okay? Because you're talking about a faith being tested. This ain't nothing about them taking your car, your house, okay? This ain't nothing about that. This is where you're confronted and your life is on the line for you to make it for you to say whether you accept Christ or not. And the only option or ultimatum you're given is that, hey, if you renounce him, we'll let you live. If you don't, we'll kill you. Down to the nitty-gritty, people. And see, some of us today, we can't even take a regular approach. Somebody coming, are you a Christian? I don't do everything right. They ain't what they ask you. They ask you, well, you're a Christian. But see, you get to a point, you won't even come out and answer that. You're fumbling. You're afraid to say yes. And so if you're shaking and babbling and fumbling over that, good Lord. That's why I say, hey, we need the help of the Lord. Now, one more thing, his divinity, okay? And once again, this is another one of, I guess, their members or whatever named Weiss, Weisse. And this is what is said about the divinity of Christ. It is an absurd idea that Jesus was any more divine than any other man. Wow. I think I read that again. Okay. Because see, some of y'all are Christian, that should have been like a pie-all, big slap in the face. Like, you should have been like, what? But once again, you got to understand, we the ones, many of us as Christians, is the one quaking in our boots. These religions are bold with what they say. They just come out and tell you. So they say here, it is an absurd idea. Absurd idea. So absurd. That's what he said. That Jesus was any more divine than any other man. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to the book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Book of John chapter 1, verse 1. And then we're going to go to verse 14. Book of John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to go to verse 14 after that. Okay? Amen. Now, look what the Word of God says here. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, look what it says. And the Word, which we read in verse 1, that was in the beginning, that was with God and that was God, was made flesh. It incarnated, okay? And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, who is that? Is that not Jesus? Well, what do you say? No more divine than any other man. Yeah, he was Lord God incarnated in the flesh. You can't get no more divine than that. Ain't nobody as divine as him, okay? So how are you saying that he was no more divine than any other man? Because once again, Satan's goal, his objective, is to get you to reject Christ. And he tries to put down everything about Christ. You don't see, Satan is not uplifting nothing about Jesus, okay? Nothing. He ain't uplifting. If you're looking for Satan to commend you or to encourage you in Christ, forget it. It ain't happening, okay? You can counsel it. He's not going to do that. And so, the Bible here, showing us a John, says that it doesn't agree with what the spiritualists are saying or teaching. Amen. See, people, you got to, I don't know any other way to, you know, to explain it to you, but you got to search it up. You got to search out things. You just can't, just because people say, I'm a spiritualist, and you see the word spirit in there, and you're thinking, oh, there's got to be God because they say they're spiritual. That don't mean nothing. Satan is a deceiver. He does a lot of masquerading stuff, a lot of it, okay? Amen. And you got to look that up. But like I said, these religions are coming more and more bold. Satan is influencing them more. They're becoming more and more bold. Why? Because the church is becoming more and more scared. We're scared. Even the government, let's say even in this nation, has his chest poked out and tell the Christians, you ain't doing this, you ain't doing that. And see, it's going to get worse because they're going to start telling us, try to tell us, and let's say try to tell some of us, there are going to be others that they're going to have some sway on them. But try to tell us what to preach, okay? Yeah, because if you don't see how things are lining up now, then you're missing it. These things that are lined up now is setting up for them to try to tell us what to preach. You know, just like that woman, what was she, a mayor in Houston, and she wanted to check, was it ministers or what they was preaching, if they're going to use the name of Jesus in their sermons or something like that. Now, you would think, now that's just far-fetched. But see, now, anything that this nation or anything that God has called an abomination and this nation is saying ain't nothing wrong about it, we're going to legalize it, they want you as a Christian to agree with it. See, the way things going now, as a Christian, you don't supposed to have a mind. So when they ask you, what do you think about same-sex marriage? And you say, well, I believe what my God said, and it's an abomination. Then they say that you hate them. And they're so upset with you and disappointed with you that you don't accept it. And see, another thing that's more and more on the rise, whether you believe it or not, is bestiality. For years they've been doing it. It ain't nothing new, but it's more on the rise now. And you know bestiality means that they're having sex with their animals. And so many people are in love with their animals. I mean, we thank God for his creation. But see, there's a boundary that you go. When you go past that boundary, and many of the people got over past the boundary, you know, some of these women, and I read about in the research I did last year or the year before that, some of them are marrying their dogs. I mean, literally marrying the dog. Yes, marrying the dog. As a Christian, you better get ready for it, because more stuff that God calls an abominable or iniquity or sin, especially this nation, is going to say it's okay. And you the one that is a hateful person if you don't accept it. That's what they're saying, okay? Just like with all these different religions. Because, see, they practice spiritism here in America. Yeah, because remember I read to you the start of how, who was credited for starting spiritism, and it said that, hey, you know, this guy, Allan Kardec, supposed to have started when a time where there was a the interest in spiritual phenomenon started growing, okay? So when you look at these religions, even in this country, is being accepted, or the government is totally defending for them. Lord, I wish I could stress it out to you even more, okay? And the government, many of them seem to be at or against Christianity. But once again, it shouldn't shock you because of what the word tells us, okay? Seem to be against it. But they're going to legalize and they're going to want everybody to accept everybody's, quote, religion. And say, hey, we all can dwell in peace together. But you can't. You can't. Think about it. The greatest example you can think about. Think about heaven. Now, what kind of peace you think going to go on in heaven if God lets spiritualists be up there, witches, Islamic, all these other religions be up there in heaven? What kind of peace you think going to be going on up there? It ain't going to be none. Ain't going to be no peace. Just think about your house. How can you have peace in your house if somebody in your house stealing from you? What kind of peace you going to have? If you got someone in your house that is a pure thief, and you talking about, well, I think we all can dwell together, and you looking up and your purse missing, and then the next day your billfold missing, then your money for your bills missing, what kind of peace are you going to have in the house? How you going to dwell together? And then on top of that, let's say that this person don't want to change, don't want to turn from it. What kind of peace you going to have? You get what I'm saying? So with all these religions now being more and more accepted in this nation, how are we going to be a peaceful nation? There is no way you're going to be a peaceful nation. You think, for example, people that practice in witchcraft, you think they're going to just sit in their own little house and practice this stuff? So I'm not going outside, bother nobody. I will just stay in the house and do it. You actually think they're going to do that? Well, if you do, you're dreaming, okay? Because that's not happening. Because, see, Satan sends them out to recruit. Just like God sends his people out to gather souls for him, Satan sends his people out to recruit, to gather souls for him, okay? So they ain't going to be just sitting in the house like these spirits right here that we're talking about here. These spirits, they ain't just sitting in no house saying, I'm just going to mind my own business. I ain't going to mess with nobody. And I'm going to do my own practice at the house. No, they're going to be out there trying to grab people to join. And these doctrines that they're teaching, oh, yeah, they're going to tell the people they're trying to get to join. You think they're going to sit up there and say, well, we don't want to offend nobody. These religions ain't caring about offending you, Christian, okay? They ain't caring. You can forget it. So if they can stand bold on their lies and what Satan give you, how come you can't stand bold for Christ? Because, see, many of us have taken on that the doormat spirit where you get walked over and talking about, well, I'm just going to, you know, we always say, I'm just going to let God do something about it. I understand that, but every time God is not going to just let you shrink down and he do something about it. Sometimes you got to open your mouth. You got to stand. And if that wasn't be the case, then you can go back to all those Christians in the past who were killed for the name of Jesus' sake and look at it and say, y'all crazy. Amen. And just like in these last days, there are going to be people who are going to think that true believers, that they're crazy. Because some are going to lose their jobs because these jobs are going to want them to do something that God says no. And when they say, hey, I'm not going to do that, well, we're going to take your job for you. Well, I believe the Lord. You can do whatever you feel like you got to do. Well, there are going to be people on the side saying, man, you crazy. You willing to lose your job over this? Man, what's wrong with you? When they tell you, say, hey, we want you to honor the lesbian party that we having, and we want you to get up and say some good words about them, so encouraging words and wish them the best. Christian, what are you going to do? Sit up there and say, well, Lord, tell me what I need to do. You know what you need to do. God can give a direct word and say, hey, you know, I'm going to, you know, do something here. But for the most part, you're going to have to stand and say, hey, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, I can't support something God called abomination. And just like here with the spiritism, I can't support anything that downs my Jesus, that says that his miraculous conception was a lie, that say it is absurd, that he did atonement for mankind. I can't support nothing like that. I cannot be in harmony with anything like that. So I cannot be in harmony with spiritism. I don't hate the people. I pray for them that God would save them, you know, they accept the Lord to be saved. But I cannot be in no peace and harmony with them. We can't live in the same house. Once again, these are people that communicate with demon spirits. What kind of peace you going to have in the house? You waking up each morning, get thrown to one wall to the other. What kind of peace you going to have? Or demons jumping on you or stuff like that. What kind of peace is you going to have? You're not going to have no peace. See, people, sometimes we really need to think. Okay? And if we don't know something, ask the Lord. Because we, once again, we have taken the love thing to an area that God didn't say go. And we think that it means to accept this. No. And watch. All these religions, especially in this nation here, and over the world, but especially in this nation, is going to be accepted. And you're going to see, just like when the Antichrist really show his face, he's going to say, hey, we can all get along. We can all have peace. If you worship a goat, you can have peace with the person that worship the cow. You can all, I'm telling you. Now, y'all might think this far-fetched, but it ain't, because that's where we're headed. I see this thing, okay? I see this thing. Because now people want to get into organizational things where everything and everybody's accepted. Now you might say, well, Brother Nate, you know, that sound good. Don't you want everybody accepted? In the Lord's way is what I want everybody accepted. In the Lord's way. Not in, you know, you worship cows, and I'm going to accept that you worship cows, and you worship a demon god. I'm saying, no, not that way. Not like that. Okay? Because if you're talking about, well, I want to be in peace, and I do going to do things with them just for the sake of toleration because I got to show my love for them. So when they bow down and worship their gods, and you talking about, well, I'm going to be respectable, and I'm going to bow down and worship with them, you're partaking in that thing with them. What kind of blessing you think going to come from that? Nothing. You're going to be cursed. You're going to be cursed. And then on top of that, if you turn around and say, well, you know, God understands I'm trying to be in peace, God is not going to tell you, say, okay, go there and bow down and go through the same motion with them as they do with their God because you got to be in peace. No. Not going to tell you that, okay? Now, see, they're just like the government. God said obey the laws of the land. But this is as long as the laws don't contradict his word. So if the laws of the land tell you, minister, same-sex marriage is okay, and they tell you, say, hey, as a minister, you got to marry two women or two men, you think God's going to sit up there and tell you, say, now listen, you got to honor the laws of the land? No. He's not going to, he's not going to do that. Okay? He'll be contradicting his own word if he tell you. He tell you something like that, be contradicting his own word. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So, these four things I want to cover tonight with First Witnesses. This might be two or three parts long. Amen. Because I want to go in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Okay? That's the key thing. That's the important thing. And what I want to read to you is what the spiritualists teach and believe concerning Christ. That's the key thing above anything. What do they believe about Christ? Does the Bible support them? Well, it doesn't. The Bible don't support them. And too many of us are Christian, we're not reading the Bible. Oh, we carry it with us to service. Look at it a few minutes of Sunday school, and as if we make it Sunday school, as if we come on time. But then we definitely make sure we make it for preacher service, because so many people, they want to go to preacher service because it's closer to the time to dismiss, okay? They don't want to go to Sunday school. They, oh, I got to sit all that time through Sunday school, then preacher service. Ah, I don't want to do all that. Amen. And we are heading for a state right now, people, that what a testing is going to be. I can sense a type of change in a sense that's not good. And there's, you know, but all things not going to be bad. God's going to be doing some marvelous move during this time. But there are going to be challenges. There are going to be challenges to your faith. And sometimes my mind drifts back to thinking about the early Christian martyrs and what they faced at the hour of their greatest test. That when they was confronted and their life was on the line, and where they could have easily said, hey, I renounce Jesus because this is not worth it. Many of them said, I believe in Christ. You know what my personal prayer is for myself? That, Lord, I don't want to never turn on you. I don't want to turn away from him. I don't want nothing to cause me to turn away from God. And that's why as people, we got to be careful where our heart at, because when you keep sowing your heart one way, the longer you sow it, the greater whatever you sow in it to will have a hold on it. And you'll start doing things that years before you never thought you'd do. And one of the greatest ones, even reject Christ. Satan, when he tried to get us to reject Christ, the first thing he started with is verbal persecution, for the most part. But then when that's not doing the job, he tried to ramp it up to physical. Okay, and with these early Christian martyrs, their life was threatened, and many of them lost their lives. But they are with the Lord, and that's the greatest thing. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, you have blessed us again on such a day as this, and we thank you for this opportunity and time you've given us to come together in the word. Father, today we ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, that you would look at us on this hour. Bless those that were listening to take the word back to you, to get a witness from you. And Lord God, I ask that you would word my mouth for your glory, Father. And I thank you for doing it on this broadcast. So, Lord, I am grateful for the many things you've done and doing is going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our glory and honor and praise go to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Don't forget tomorrow night, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. as well as on Saturday night. And then Brother Nate, me, will be back Saturday. Look for the advertisement then for Saturday evening or Saturday night. So thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.